anybody that wants to share anything they got during worship before we get into the message? Except for Josh. I'm going to call Josh up in a minute. Set him up. Anybody? All right. All I know is that was amazing worship. The Lord gave me such a download of revelation for different things. It's going to take months to work through a lot of it. Seems like for me, I get a lot of insight during worship. That seems to be the primary thing in here. It's not quite as strong when I'm doing it by myself, but it's just something about the corporate anointing that it just takes off. I told Brian, I said, really, to use a business term, our church is really in a marketing niche. That means we got a sliver of the market that's very unique for us. The traditional churchgoer may never come here. It's just too different. But in many ways, this is what I told Brian. I said, in many ways, it's not happened yet. I mean, most of us have come from different churches. But we're really set up for the unchurched that's never been to church. That when the revival... Oh, you got something? Okay, let me finish this sentence and come on up. We're really for those, I believe, and time will prove it out, that when the awakening and revival comes, it's never known church, but they have eyes for Jesus. And they're used to being free. They're used to doing their own thing. A lot of that was the flesh. But they don't understand religious boundaries. And when they come in here, they're going to experience true freedom in the Lord and go, okay, this is Christianity. This is how true freedom is expressed. And so in many ways, we're more like a church that is for what's coming than trying, and then He'll take care of everybody else. And so that's just the thought I had. In many ways, we're sort of, you know, all good companies have a, let me throw this out, all good companies have an R&D lab, research and development lab, where they're always constantly trying new things and experimenting. And because that's where the future is of future products. Maybe I'm taking this illustration too far. But in many ways, in Kingdom of God of churches, we're sort of like an R&D lab. We're willing to try new things, experiment, blow up stuff in the labs, and to figure out how to get the bride ready for Jesus. Marcy, come on up. You can meditate on that. As long as people like Mary Ellen behind you may not be able to hear you and Josh.
Okay, just a little impression from the Lord. What I felt like He was saying. Get up, awake from your sleepy slumber, break out of your slothfulness, push out of habit. Follow me reckless, full run speed ahead, and do not shrink back. The things that impede you will fall away because they cannot stick to you. You're darting here, you're under radar there, out of the snare, moving too fast for them to catch you.
Ooh, that's good. Amen. All right. We've covered four words the last 2 weeks that I think the Holy Spirit is doing. He's awakening in us something that I don't think was there before. I mean, it was there, but we're just now starting to realize that. He's teaching us that we're an ark. That's the second word. A carriers of His presence wherever we go that people can run to find hope. We also talked about that He's remantling us. That's a biblical word. It's given us new authority and awakening new gifts. And it's all being tied together by helping us understand the river. That was the fourth word. Awakening, ark, remantling, river. And the river is that constant flow of the Holy Spirit that's coming out from under His throne. That's creating bellies of living water coming out of our bellies. And it's not an old flow in the sense that it's always going, but for us it's a new flow, something we haven't seen before. And so today, I'm just going to give us some practical instructions. So this is going to be like a real heavy teaching time of practical instructions on how to walk in these four words, awakening, ark, remantle, and river. And one of the words fit perfectly. Josh had the vision last week, but different reasons it didn't work out to share it. I think this week might even be better. So, and one of the words, practical instructions, is the vision he had. So why don't you come on up and just share that you had.
You know, Martin Luther had a niche market.
Did he?
That's
good.
It did. You mind if I sit down? Okay. I'll take your seat since it's warm. So, last October, I was sitting over there during worship, and the Holy Spirit showed me a vision that I'm trying to put this in the shortest way possible. I'm sorry. It really is, because there's no real good way to kind of deliver it. The church has had a bad habit of compartmentalizing the gifts of the Spirit and not realizing the fact that they go together. It's kind of like sometimes, you know, you got a knife and a fork, cup and a saucer, spoon and a bowl, rake and a tarp, shovel and a barrel, bucket, wheelbarrow, that's what I meant. And what it showed me was that we have focused so long on the gifts that edify the believers in the church, but not the gifts that release the bonded. And the bonded are not people within the church so much. These two gifts are basically the gifts of healing and the gifts of casting out of demons. We've seen some people kind of focus on them. A lot of televangelists get into that because it's showmanship. You know, it's entertaining for some people. It's like, oh, look what we're doing, you know. And Benny Hinn would get out there and just wave his hand, everybody falls down. Okay? And it's, you know, it's, I guess it's fun for some people whose lives are just not really lived close, as the song says. But we're coming into a time, and 3 weeks ago when you talked about how God is moving much faster now, we're coming into a time where those forgotten gifts are going to be used really. And when I say really, I mean you might be at the store getting gas for your car. And next to you is this man who's having, for all intents and purposes, a fit. Okay? And instead of just looking over and saying, God, I hope he doesn't catch my eye. He's going to talk to me if he does. The Holy Spirit in you says, that man is tormented by his demons. And instead of just seeing that man's reactions, you see the demonic on him. Because you cannot address the demonic without discernment. It's impossible. I've seen, has anybody in here ever seen the old backwoods Pentecostal services where they cast out the demons in the people? And it's like, I'm sitting here looking at it and I'm like, you've been in that church for 27 years. What are you doing with the demon on you? Y'all know this is for show. This is just a joke. I mean, call me judgmental, but I'm sorry. It's not right. Not like when you're out in public and you see somebody walking down the street and it's 32 degrees and they're wearing shorts and flip-flops and no shirt, and you realize that guy's got something. There is something tormenting that person. And instead of just saying it, we're coming into a new era where it's going to be acted upon, because that's what the church did. And the revelation that I got was there's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit as it's moved in the church already. But it represents the old wineskins. Okay? The old wine is matured. It's strong. It's pungent. It's not readily available to people's palate. What do you have to have in order to be able to take that on? You have to have new wine first. And the new wine is going to be people that represent the casting out of demons and the healing of the sick. But they're going to have discernment. They're going to have that wisdom in order to be able to go out and do that. Now, where it comes into play with what you said several weeks ago, in the church, one of the biggest things that's going to divide the church and send people out of the church is jealousy, envy, disgust. They're going to look at each other and say, well, why has he got that gift? Why does he have that gift? This guy's been saved for 7 months, okay? He's walked with the Lord for, you know, no time at all. And I've been in this church for 14 years. I speak in tongues. I have prophetic gifts. I have dreams and visions. Why is he casting out demons in people? In that moment, that person has stepped out of the will of the Father. They have stepped directly into their flesh, because in God, there's no reason to have pride, to hold on to this. If God gives me a gift to cast out a demon in somebody, so be it. Okay? Hey guys, I'm going to let y'all know this right now. I have involuntarily spoken in tongues 4 times in my Christian walk, which is 21 years. All right? I don't force it. I don't try to do it for show. I don't let anybody hear it. But it has been involuntarily no more than 4 times. So why don't I get mad when some of you guys do it just like that? Because I don't care. You know, it doesn't bother me. And I think that's going forward, if we're in this niche market, we have to be able to see that. Not to say that this is Amy's gift of healing the sick and casting out demons, but that you represent a part of this body that is needed for a specific moment. Just like Sean does, just like Kelly does, and Brian and Joseph. Dying. So, and I don't know, some of y'all that's going to rub maybe the wrong way. Some of y'all that's going to be like, I don't understand that too much. It's a little crazy. But the thing is, it was so impressed upon me, because it's not some vision that I sat over there trying to get for 15 or 20 minutes. It was in 2 seconds, just bam, like that. So I just didn't have the right time to deliver it. So, there you go, man.
Good word, good word. And that was the first point I was going to go over. Probably don't need to go over it anymore. I'm going to move this so it doesn't roll off. Is to stay offense-free. There will be opportunities to be offended. The move of God always creates offense, and it can be in anything. It can be in the music, it can be in the prayer, it can be in the gifts. And a big one is what he just said. How come God's using them in that? And this is what I've learned. Who knows? He's just using them. Be glad that the kingdom of God is expanding, and he will use you. There is no one super person that's going to flow in all 9 gifts and all 9 fruits. But together we represent the body. Together we will represent all 9 gifts and all 9 fruits. Now, that's our goal. We want to get there. But it's just the way God moves. And so moves of God create an offense. And so we just need to stay offense-free. One thing to realize, another practical thing on that, is to realize when the river's flowing and the river's moving, he doesn't throw away everything from your past. That's a mistake we've seen over the years. He builds on your past. Now, if he throws away anything in your past, it's probably stuff that wasn't him to begin with. It's not that it was bad, but it's just like, all right, you need to shed this. Or if in this time of remantling, he may get you to emphasize something you've never emphasized much in the past, because there's coming up for a time to need that. But we don't throw away everything in the past. He builds on it. We're constantly being built. Another practical thing, I'm just going through these, just some notes. When God's moving, like you see somebody, how in the world is this person casting out demons? Or how come this person's getting words? Is to pray for clarity and be slow to criticize. There's something in our human nature that immediately goes, I haven't seen that before, it's wrong. Well, how many of you 120 years ago, none of you in this room, but I remember listening to my grandfather and grandmother that have passed away. They lived through a time of railroads getting established and electricity getting established and indoor plumbing getting established. And you see the parallel there in planes. I've never seen that before. I'm going to reject that. No, don't criticize. Pray for clarity as to what is happening. Just as there has been new physical technology introduced into the earth. Now, I am old enough to have seen the microprocessor birthed in the 70s. Some of you take it for granted, but that microprocessor that's in everything now, cars, phones, computers, everything, medical equipment. It, you know, 60 years ago, it wasn't there. You know, the computer that they used for the mission to the moon, if you've ever read this, in 1968, is a very small microprocessor. The iPhone is hundreds of times more powerful than that microprocessor that landed that lander on the moon. I love mechanical watches. And the Speedmaster, Omega Speedmaster, which Kelly is a fan of. You said you wanted one day. You know, the nickname is the Moon Watch. That was a mechanical watch that they used to help guide them. And Apollo 13 used a Speedmaster on its critical reentry to not burn back up. A mechanical watch. I mean, you can get a Casio watch now, digital watch for $10. That is, you know, even more accurate than that. And so, but it's just as there has been physical technology coming to the earth, He is releasing spiritual technology. That's not a common word, and I just made that up. But it's technology is just new stuff. And He's bringing new stuff. Some of it's old with new power. Next Sunday is Pentecost. And Lord willing, I'm going to talk about power. It's on my schedule anyway, but He seems to not always do what's on my schedule. But it's still Pentecost, and it's still power. And it's interesting, these people were with Jesus for 3 years constantly, morning, noon, and night, and slept with Him. And you know He taught him, because one of the gifts He flowed in was office of teacher. He taught them, and they had labs. Go over here and cast this demon out, and do this, and pray for the sick, and all this stuff. But at the end of 3 years with Him, He said, it is not enough. You need to go wait for power that comes when Holy Spirit comes. I don't even know if they knew what the Holy Spirit was. I guess they did. There's a little bit of few people that had the Holy Spirit inside of them in the Old Testament. That's new technology. And so they waited 10 days. And He said, now with your teaching and training and walking with me, here's power that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit. And so when you see stuff going on you never seen before, pray for clarity. Father, is this you? Or is this not for you? And if you're not sure, restrain from criticism. Practical instruction. I was talking with Brian. I go, can you believe that the Lord took a Baptist family? I'm talking independent, strict Baptist, secessionist family that didn't believe much of the Holy Spirit. And we're doing this now? Now, it took decades to train us. We were a little slow. But we had new spiritual technology introduced somewhere along the way. And there were many times we couldn't have been here if we started criticizing it, going, I don't understand. Philippians, I think it's Philippians 4:7. Yeah, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That's pray for clarity. If you see something going on, and your natural tendency is to criticize. That can't be right. At first people that saw electricity or heard the telephone ring or heard about that can't be right. Just think how crazy it is. Somebody even 30 years ago, saw Deborah going down the road with this thing, little, whatever this is, piece of metal, and it's glowing. I mean, it's normal now. 30 years ago, that's witchcraft. And she's talking at a red light. She's talking to herself into this thing. And they're going, she's crazy. I'm not exaggerating, am I? It's the same way with the spiritual technology. You're going to go, what is going on over there? Now, they could be crazy. That's why we need to pray for clarity. I mean, we meet crazy stuff. But don't automatically criticize. Ask for clarity. Lord, is this you, not you? And it's better to say, I'm just leaving that alone. Okay? And let the Lord teach me. I remember Sean, and I can talk to him because he said it publicly so many times. The first Sunday he came here over a dozen years ago, he said, these guys are crazy. They're doing meth or something like that, didn't you? And luckily he came back. Somewhere he got clarity. And he's not just sitting here, he's doing it. Now, is that God or what? To take him from going, these guys are crazy, to actually being the crazy one. But crazy is all relative. Be willing, another thing, be willing to try new things. He's going to ask you to step out to do little things. To go from that denominational position that I was in to here today, no way, you'll never do it. You will get whiplash, you'll have amnesia, you won't know who you are. It's too much of a change. Little steps over time. And he brings you here. And he'll do that same thing with you. And you'll look back over 10 years. Man, I'm a different person. So don't criticize. Ask for clarity. Don't be willing to try new things. This region, more... Well, I guess it's human nature. I guess it's just because I live here. We need to not walk in a spirit of fear. Christians are terrible. Well, let me back up. It's not Christians, it's all humans, and some of us just happen to be Christians. This spirit of fear, okay, fear, when you feel fear come on you, it could be low-level anxiousness, not full-blown fear. I'm just going to tell you, it is not God. So when you feel anxiousness coming on, full-blown fear coming on, you need to arrest this thing and take thoughts captive. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says this out of the New Living Translation. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. That means drawing back. But of power. Why? Because that's what Holy Spirit brings. Love and self-discipline. I love the King James. It says a sound mind. Pick your translation. Whenever you feel fearful or anxious, slow down and go, Holy Spirit, maybe this is right, maybe it's not, but this fear is not of you, and I rebuke it and tell it to go. That atmosphere is not going to affect the atmosphere inside of me. I mean, I heard one report this week of, there's nobody here, so they're not even in this region, so don't try to think of name. Their whole theology is fear. Okay? You know? We're going to have to pack up because the times are going to get really bad. Let me tell you, that is not God. I don't know if this is God or just Craig. That is close to doctrines of demons to keep you from moving forward. That says this is the way it should be. You know, it says in the end times, there's going to be doctrines of demons to keep you from progressing forward. This is just, whenever you see that, it is not God. 1 Peter 1:13 says this. Whenever you see fear, say, it is a spirit of fear to rob me of hope. Fear says, fear the future. Hope says, the future is good. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It drives me nuts. This is a pet peeve. This may not be God. The intensity level, it drives me nuts. Christian's going to be bad. Have many of you have really had it bad living in America? We don't know what bad is. Be a Christian in Iran. Be a Christian in China, where they're literally tearing it down. Be a Christian within the first 300 years, especially during the reign of Nero, where if he caught you, he skinned you and made lamps out of you for his garden. Okay? Now that's bad. All through the last 2,000 years, there's been some serious persecution. Maybe it comes here. I hope not. We've not had it. It's just not bad. Right. This is yes. And so that spirit of fear comes and puts all these scenarios in your brain. I don't know if they're going to happen or not, but I know this. 1 Peter 1:13 says this out of the NIV. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. That's where you capture these thoughts. And I love this. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Your hope is in Jesus, not your theology, not your end times doctrine, not in having a full cupboard. Get a full cupboard, I don't care. There's some wisdom in that. But all it takes is one robber in the middle of the night, and your full cupboard that you're taking your hope in is going to be gone. You got me? Are y'all? Well, I've never seen that spirit here, but it's in this region. It's nuts. Okay? Use some wisdom. There is this kind of thing. But wherever fear comes in, so if you're in this service and something starts to happen and you start getting afraid or anxious, go, Father, is this of you? Is not of you? Show me. Relax. There's a hope. Don't criticize. Guard a fence. Amen? Because that river is bringing stuff across our path that's from up the river, from His throne room that we may have never seen before, and we're actually glad. How many of you are glad to be where you are in God now? I know I am, than 40 years ago where I was in the Lord. That wasn't a bad place. It was a good place. But this is a whole lot better place. Another thing, a practical thing. Be careful about what others think of you. John 3, verse 2. There was a prominent religious leader named Nicodemus. I love this. He came to Jesus at night. Well, Jesus was doing all kinds of stuff during the day out in public. What's happening behind the scenes? And he said this, Rabbi, talking to Jesus, which is for a religious leader back then to call him Rabbi, I don't have time to go into the history of it. This is a big deal. This name was not used lightly. That was saying, I'm honoring you as one with authority and wisdom. Rabbi had a specific meaning back then. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. What I want to focus on is he came to Jesus at night. Why? Because he wasn't brave enough for his religious buddies to see him talking with him in the day. I applaud him for coming at night. That's better than not coming at all. This is the point. There are going to be things the Lord may have you do, like the guy at the check register counter or the gas register counter, using Joshua's analogy, that's having a fit, and somebody two over sees you minister to this guy with a fit, and you may offend them. It's not just our hearts being offended. We've got to learn to realize this next point. You may be opposed for what you're doing in the river. And one of those things, before we even move out in the river, is go, what are others going to think? At least Nicodemus moved. Let's give them credit. A lot of them didn't. Now, I'm telling you, this is not... I struggle with this. I'll start moving some. Well, what is so-and-so going to think? All I know is this. That helps me. It may not help you. One day, when I stand before the Lord and I don't do what He's asked me to do, it's going to look like a pathetic example or prophetic excuse. Well, I'm afraid of what so-and-so is going to do. And there's Jesus. And we won't go through all the stuff He did. It's just, that helps me. Maybe it doesn't help you, but that helps me go, okay, this is just such lame. Just stop your whining and move on. It's just not going to work. If that helps you, fine. Because every new move, you will be opposed. I love to read business biographies. Henry Ford that came up with the car. Oh, we all love the car now, okay? I mean, it's just the thing. You realize he was majorly opposed when he started doing his factories? Have you ever read this? There were groups that formed to oppose him. You know who it was? The people that made wagons for horses. And the people that made saddles for horses. I'm not lying. You can go Google this. Or DuckDuckGo it or Bing it. Whatever you want to do. Why? Because they realized if this gets big, they ain't going to buy my saddles no more. And they were right. It took a few decades. But how many of you have a saddle in your garage? I mean, even if you saw a saddle, would you even know what a saddle was? Okay, there you go. So you will be opposed, not just in the physical, this principle's there. It's also in with spiritual technology, to use a lack of a better word. Now, if you're like me, I love nobody opposing me. Oh, that is an awesome idea, Craig. Let's just do it. Oh, yeah, let's do it now. It's just something in our human nature. We like it. I cannot guarantee you, almost, maybe there's some a few exceptions, lack of opposition means your idea is probably not going to change the world that much. See, there you go. That's a second confirmation right there. Lack of opposition. Yeah, just keep preaching, sister. Lack of opposition. I like that ringtone. Does not mean you are right. Look at Nehemiah. What a ringtone. She said it's not a ringtone. It's something playing. She can't get it to go off. It says even the rocks shall cry out. See, if that was the New Living Translation for 2020, it says even the smartphones would cry out. That was a bad joke. So, you think of Nehemiah, who was commissioned by Cyrus to go and build the wall. Here's Jews that had been living in Jerusalem for decades that couldn't get that wall built. He comes, and in, 50 days or something like that, he builds the wall. You read it, Nehemiah 2. Those that were already there that should have been doing something started mocking them. Well, that's not the way we do it. You're not going to get very far. Well, dude, you've been living there all your life. Shut up and let me try for 50 days. That's the flesh. You shouldn't say it that way. You just say, let me try it and see where we go. You look in Nehemiah 6. They started spreading rumors about this guy. It got so bad, they had to divide it. Half the people had to have a sword to guard it from the people that were living there that's going to live inside the walls. Many things we're going to do in the spirit, people's going to persecute. And you say this, don't say this. This is Craig trying to get a point across. Shut up. Come back in 50 days and enjoy what's being built. Charles Finney, the Second Great Awakening. Smith Wigglesworth. John Wesley started the Methodist Church. Charles George Whitfield, that was the First Great Awakening with great, great results. Now, go back and Google. All of these guys had major opponents that shouted from Facebook in the 1700s, these guys are demonic and they're wrong. They're all dead, but how many of you remember those people's names? The truth will always win out. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves till we get to heaven. That's why we just follow the Holy Spirit. I love what George Whitfield said. He got so used to it, and he got to being opposed. He said this, quote, "The more I am opposed, the more joy I feel." Wow. He died to himself somewhere. Last point. We'll close with this. So don't throw away everything already built. He builds on it. Stay offense-free. Pray for clarity. Slow to criticize. Be willing to try new things. Don't walk in a spirit of fear but hope. Be careful about what others think. And that fear versus hope, I was talking to Mom about this week. I came up with this point after our discussion on the driveway. I was like, I'm talking about that. Fear versus, it was a a friend that we know that doesn't live here. We already said that. That's just like, dude, this is just ridiculous. You may be opposed, but it's all right. Last one is be ready to get messy. Maybe that's why our lobbyist was so messy this week. You should have seen that. Maybe that's a prophetic sign. I love Proverbs 14:4 in the NIV. I actually was reminded of this verse with Sean, and I wrote it down. Where there are no oxen on the threshing floor is a word we don't use anymore, but that's where they ground the wheat to make bread. Okay? So to push this big wheel, it ground wheat. Nobody wanted to do it you could do it with these little truss, the little bowl things, but it'd take forever to get much wheat pressed. Now we just go to the food line, aisle 8, and we got 8 versions of bread we can choose. Well, I don't like that one. I want the one with the power seeds, or I want the one where it's all white or whatever. Back then, there was only one kind of bread, and you had to grind up the wheat. And to put it on a mass production, we want mass production, amen? We want lots of things in the Spirit. They throw all this wheat in the middle, and they had this oxen go around, and it was a wheel, and it ground the seed by the wheel, and then they would make flour out of it. So that's what you do. You go either take your wheel to the threshing floor. That's what the threshing floor is. Grace, I'm trying to explain this more. Grace this week, she's probably echoed the sentiment of many people. This was her words, quote, "Dad, I like hearing you speak, but you speak on level 65 and I need level 2, unquote. All right, so I'll take some of that as well. So anyway, that's what a threshing floor is. And so you needed an oxen that would put this yoke and go around and around. And if you ever think your job was boring, there were actually times in history where slaves were put on these threshing floors and they walked around and around all day long. How sad is that? Where there are no oxen, the manger, the threshing floor is empty. But from the strength of an oxen comes an abundant harvest. Okay, let's bring this down to earth. What does that mean, the manger is empty? One is there's no wheat, but that's not messy. If you get an oxen in there and he's going round and round, guess what? Somebody, let's just be nice, somebody needs a shovel following the oxen. Because they have byproducts or a waste. All right, I think you get the picture. If we want the harvest, the wheat, we got a whole hallway painted with the wheat, there's going to be some messes that somebody's going to have to go behind with a shovel. This week, thank God, it was only like 2 inches of dust everywhere. But there's going to be other things that happen. We get new believers, they're going to do some stuff and go, man, this is going to be a mess to clean up. Their heart was good, but we got to do some correction. We got to do some apologies, some redirection. Sometimes we'll be in the service and we'll go, what just happened? And we're going to go, after a while, well, that was pretty cool. And after a while, we go, no, that wasn't even cool. But it's all right. You got something you want to share? Jeff? Ooh, that's cool. He said that even Henry Ford offered his criticizers jobs. Now that's a good spiritual principle. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Grab the microphone, just so it's on the tape. I'm basically done.
When this week I happened to be studying, we're on the cusp of the third great awakening. So I was studying the first two. And this is the first time I'd ever heard this term. This sums up perfectly what Craig was teaching. Old light versus new light. You ever heard that term? I'd never heard that.
Life or light?
Lights.
Lights, okay.
Old lights versus new lights. The terms old lights and new lights are used in Protestant Christian circles to distinguish between two groups who were initially the same but have come to a disagreement. These terms have been applied in a variety of ways, and the meaning must be determined from each context. Typically, if a denomination is changing and some refuse to change, and the denomination splits, those who did not change are referred to as old lights. And the ones that changed were referred to as new lights. An example of this, let's see. The terms were also used in 1833 when a debate over swearing allegiance to the U.S. Constitution split the Reformed Presbyterians. The old light Reformed Presbyterians, in keeping with their covenanter heritage, refused to swear allegiance to the Constitution and thus to become citizens, because the Constitution made no mention of the Lordship of Christ, whereas the new lights Reformed Presbyterians allowed for it. Following the split, the old lights eventually formed the Reformed Presbyterian Church of the North America, and the new lights formed the Reformed Presbyterian Church General Synod. What strikes me about that is they're both called lights. Lights reveal truth. The only difference was the age. One was the old light, one was the new. So, like Craig said, if you're a new light, if you're constantly pushing in to new revelation from God or new ways to share an old truth, you're going to get resistance. You're going to get resistance.
All right. So I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to make messes. We never want to do anything that the Word of God says no to. We'll make messes, and then sometimes we're going to go back. You know, that thing just blew up, and it was not a good idea. Mixing those chemicals just did not work like I thought they would. And so I ask you to go, okay, Craig, that's all right. So that when you go forward and you make a mess, I'll return the favor. Amen? Can we do that? And together we'll come up with new compounds that hopefully will bless the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to pray over you guys. Father, we just come to you and we say, to use the metaphor that I used earlier, Lord, use us to show more of you to the world. It's going to look different for every person. It may be at that gas station. It may be the homeless, to use what Joshua talked about earlier. It may be, who knows, in worship. But Father, we are here not to do new for the sake of new. And we never want to take our eyes off of Jesus, because that's where our hope comes from. But we say, enable us. We sign up to show more of you, that we can be more of a light of you to other people, that their eyes will be illumined to see more of you. And we sign up for that today in our own world, in our own way, in whatever way that looks like. We say we want to exit this earth being the best light that we possibly can, shining the glory and the love of Jesus on the people. And there's enough people in here that's going to look different for every person. Give us courage. Help us this tension of listening to people, but at the same time not living by the words of people. And only you can show us that, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we sign up and we pray for it. Because we want this world to be a company of people, as it says on our website, that are passionate about seeing Jesus face to face, about seeing Him and living in intimacy with Him. In Jesus' name, amen.